Welcome in to the latest R. Bill Simmons podcast, doing a solo one today on a topic that is getting a lot of coverage lately, ESPN financials, NBA media deal. Will we get NBA on Amazon, on Netflix? What's it going to look like? That's what we're diving into today. There's been a lot of new information about this. So on the agenda, number one, Disney released the ESPN financials for the first time in history. We're going to analyze those and what those mean for what Disney might want to do with NBA rights. Number two, Wall Street Journal report recently, very good detail on what Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery are looking to do, which is pair back on the NBA, how Amazon's coming in hot, and what that Diamond Sports bankruptcy might mean for local rights. And then number three, we're going to get into Peacock, Netflix. Do those have opportunity for more NBA rights or for NBA rights? And why the all-in NBA rights package, which a lot of fans would like, that's probably unlikely anytime soon, or it would be very expensive. I'm going to break down why I think that's the case. Now, before I get into it, I do want to say, I want to level with you guys. You might be asking, why am I listening to this random guy on the internet from the Bill Simmons subreddit on this? What I will say about that is I do this for my job, not this podcast, but I look into this sports media landscape very heavily for what I do on a day-to-day basis. I'm also highly interested in it outside of the job. So you are getting, at least from my perspective, and I think since I work in the business, I think I have a good perspective, but you're getting someone who's, this is not just a hobby. I'm looking at this stuff pretty intensely for what I do every day. So I'll leave it at that. If you're still interested, let's rock and roll. And we do have a ton of previous content on this stuff, but I wanted to get the updates because we have new information. All right, number one, ESPN financials. So there was a clip posted by the Levitard podcast, I think. John Skipper used to run ESPN. And he was saying how when we were at ESPN in the mid-2010s, we never wanted Disney to release the ESPN financials. Because if they did, then the leagues would go, oh my goodness, look at how much money ESPN is making. We got to get a lot more money. So now that Disney has released the financials, the question becomes, did they do this on the opposite way, right? Is the reason for the ESPN financials being released because Disney wants to show the NBA and other sports leagues, look, we actually don't have that much money, and we're not going to be able to pay you as much. So let's start out with this right now. We have in the first three quarters of, or the most recent three quarters of Disney's results, ESPN generated $12.6 billion of revenue. Great, a lot of revenue, fantastic. $1.9 billion EBITDA. So EBITDA, that's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Basically, it's just an earnings proxy. So just think of it as $1.9 billion of earnings. So that translates to like a, you know, $17 billion annually, $2.5 billion earnings annually. So here are two problems with that. So number one, that's a 15% margin. That's low. So typically what you're going to find with companies is margins in like a 30 to 50% range typically. And the reason you see a lot of companies settle in that range is because if the margin gets too high, and the margin for definitional purposes is earnings on the revenue. So if you generate $1 billion of revenue and you have 400 million of earnings, you have a 40% margin simplistically. So the reason that it's usually that 30, 50% range is kind of the sweet spot is if it gets too much higher than 50%, it gets 60, 70, 80, that invites a ton of competition in because people will look at your business and go, oh my goodness, you're making so much money off of every dollar of revenue. I'm going to come in and compete that. I'm okay with the 40% margin. If you're getting 70%, we can undercut you. And the reason that it usually, you know, you don't want a margin that much less than 30% is because then you don't give yourself that much leeway for changes in the business. So if there's a technological change that you need to invest in, if you lose some business to a competitor, that 30% can get competed down pretty close. And once you're at 10% or less margins, you're at serious risk of now generating no earnings, negative earnings, and going for bankruptcy soon. So ESPN at 15% is very low. And that compares to more broadly, competitors to ESPN would be Fox, would be Paramount, would be your NBC. And those typically, they're usually kind of in the 30 to 40% margin range. Linear TV channels, like other sports channels like FS1, like FX, like Fox News, CNN, those channels typically are more like 30 to 40%, maybe even higher. So not good. Now, what does about $2.5 billion annually of earnings mean? Well, that means that ESPN can't really afford to pay that much more in an NBA deal, right? So think about this. If the NBA is saying, I want a stepped-up deal that, pay me $500 million more annually, that's a huge chunk of your earnings that are just gone out the window. And ESPN already is paying a lot more for their football because that's very expensive. And the NFL just agreed to this massive deal, which I think networks together, I think they're paying the NFL something like $13 billion a year. So it's really a huge number. And ESPN and ABC together are paying more and more of that. The other major issue is that ESPN is not growing revenue. So I've talked about this a lot before in the podcast. I'm not going to go too crazy into it, but simplistically, ESPN previously was growing revenue 7 to 10% annually because it was level to a little bit increasing subscribers. They took price hikes for the channel, and that offset sports rights increasing at 3 to 5%. So if you look long ahead, why was ESPN making so much money? Their revenue is going up 7 to 10% annually. The costs are only going up 3 to 5% annually. You have that massive middle portion of revenue minus expenses growing, growing, growing. Fantastic. The revenue growth has stopped. Fox Corp, which owns Fox News, which owns Fox Broadcast, Fox Sports One, they reported earnings last week. Disney will this week. But they came out and said they're measuring cord cutting on their channels is 8%. And so what that means is that 8% of the bundle TV subscribers are leaving the bundle annually, which makes sense, right? It's down to low 70 million in the US, used to be 105 million at the peak, I think. And so what that has meant is that ESPN, they have to get higher than an 8% increase in their channel to grow revenue. And what's been happening? They're not growing revenue anymore. So if you're ESPN, now that you're not growing revenue, you have to be very selective about what sports deals you sign and the cost of those sports deals. We've seen this recently where ESPN out of the running for Big Ten, that went to other companies, and we could see a lot more of that in the future. So broad takeaway, point number one here, ESPN financials are not very good, and that is a major issue for them. It's a major issue for Disney, and it's a major issue for the sports leagues. Okay, moving on, topic two, which this relates to. Wall Street Journal came out a couple weeks ago. Very great article. I would encourage everyone to read this. I know it's paywalled, but you know what? You can probably find some way to do it, but whatever. So, title: How the NBA Plans to Remake TV Deals and Net Billions of Dollars for Its Stars. The subtitle: League Seeks to Boost Fees by Luring Streamers from Amazon to Apple and offering games in local markets. So, two main points to this article. The number one point is that Disney and Warner Brothers, which owns TNT, are looking to pay a similar amount as the current deal, which is about $2.6 billion annually between the two. ESPN pays a little bit more. And they carry about 165 nationally televised games combined, and they have the playoffs. To quote the Wall Street Journal article, ESPN and TNT are exploring signing up for smaller packages. That arrangement would help them hang on to a premier asset in American media without breaking the bank. The reason, so think about this. Why, if the NBA is such an amazing product, and the NBA is, I would say, the number two sports media product, the NFL way up high, this is an unparalleled asset. This is probably the best asset in sports media or even media history. It's incredible. The Major League Baseball, I would go number three, more of a local, ratings bonanza, and they do get very good local ratings. National ratings, not great. We all saw that with the World Series this year. About 8.5 million people watched. That's not that high. So MLB is more of a number three. NBA is number two because they get higher ratings than the MLB now, in national games, and they also have a very young fan base. So this is a very valuable media product, 100%. So if it's so valuable, why are ESPN and TNT saying we want less games? It's exactly what I detailed about ESPN. The financials are not great. The bull and the same thing that's happening to ESPN, it's happening to TNT as well. It's happening across Warner Brothers Discovery's channels, which is TNT, TBS. They have TBS has some other sports. They just can't afford to pay as much because they're not growing revenue anymore. And and one other thing I didn't mention about ESPN. We got the breakdown, and they make about three times as much money, ESPN does, on the distribution revenue than advertising revenue. So what that means is advertising-wise, if you were only counting on advertising revenue, these deals would lose money. The reason they're making money for the networks is because the networks then go to the Comcast of the world, the DirecTVs of the world, and say, "Hey, I have all this great content, sports content. Give me that 7, 8, 9% annual increase for the channel." And then what DirecTV does is they go back and raise your bill by 8, 9, 10% a year. So really, it's the American people that are footing the bill for this and making these athletes rich. So back to the Wall Street Journal article. What this tells me is that if you removed streaming entirely, and you said the NBA has to re-up their deal with the linear TV networks and linear TV, cable TV. What I'm saying there is essentially just if you buy a bundle package, what you're going to get. It would be tough to get significantly more money for that, for sure. But when you add in streaming and you add in that component, that's, I think, where the NBA is really looking to make a splash and make a lot more money. Okay, point number two from this Wall Street Journal article. The league is looking to bring in additional parties to the negotiating table as it plots out its new deal. Amazon and Apple have already expressed interest and are looking for much more than a small slice of NBA games. So Amazon, very clearly, they paid up for Thursday Night Football. They're paying about $1 billion a year for this to the NFL. The previous deal was Fox, about $500 million a year. And before that, if you guys remember, Thursday Night Football has been passed around like a hot potato. NBC, CBS, and Fox, they all had it. And none of them made any money on it. So the fact that Amazon made such a big splash to make a deal to the NFL, doubling the previous Thursday Night Football deal, which didn't even make money for the broadcast networks, shows you Amazon is committed to sports. And they want to get a foothold in this. And this is why. They're very much interested in doing NBA, I believe. I believe that for sure. Apple, why not? Same thing. So if you're Apple, without getting the NFL and this NBA contract coming up, there's not that much more huge sports contracts coming up for a while. So if they want to get a foothold themselves, they kind of have to do something with the NBA. And if they don't do that, then they really got to explore, am I serious about the sports strategy? And maybe that's the time that they might partner with ESPN or potentially help distribute it as opposed to buying the sports rights themselves. Obviously, Amazon and Apple have tons of money at their disposal, so the NBA could easily take some money from them. So that's what I truly do see happening is you really have linear being a component for sure, because the league gets paid for it. The linear networks want great NBA content, but the NBA wants more money, which is streaming. But Adam Silver, and he makes a fantastic point. It's totally true. What's happening right now is the NBA, it's hard to watch with younger fans because the cable TV bundle, YouTube TV, is how much now? $75 a month. So that's pretty expensive if you're only going to be using YouTube TV for NBA. And a lot of times, if all the way, YouTube TV doesn't even have the local sports channels. So you're out here, maybe if you're an NBA fan right now and you want your local games and your regional games, you probably have to buy a $100 a month package from a cable video provider, a DirecTV sports packet or something. That's pretty fucking expensive. I mean, that is very expensive for the luxury of watching NBA if that's all you're going to do. And so the question that I'm always getting is, why can't the NBA just put together one service that gives you every single game? And so the reason they're not doing that is because there's still so much money to generate from the ESPNs, from the Warner Brothers Discovery. What the NBA is doing is they're taking money from a dying is too much of a dying's too strong, but they're taking money from a declining linear TV ecosystem. They're also taking money from an up-and-coming streaming ecosystem. You put that together, and that's a bonanza of money, and it's much more than they could get by putting all the rights in-house and doing one product, right? Like, if the NFL isn't doing that, and they're very savvy about how their media deals, the NBA is not going to be doing that. Okay, so number three here. CNBC, shout out Alex Sherman. This guy's been breaking amazing scoops here. And he's broken two scoops over the past couple of months. Actually, the NBC scoop was longer than that, but two scoops. Netflix might be interested in the NBA, and NBC is very interested in the NBA. So let's take both of those. Let's take Netflix first, okay? Because Netflix, they're out there, they're crushing the game right now. Netflix is absolutely crushing the streaming game. And the biggest reason why is because just everybody has Netflix. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that everybody has Netflix. That's the first thing they turn on when they're looking to get content. Yeah, like some other people might have some preferences, but the numbers don't lie that Netflix has 75 million US subscribers. Hulu has about 45 million, and HBO Max or Max Now doesn't break it out, but they might have around 50 million. But that doesn't tell the whole story because there's statistics out there that show the viewing percentage of people viewing Netflix versus those others. Netflix crushes them. So out of Nielsen puts this data out of the percentage of viewing time for TV, Netflix is about 8% of all TV viewing time. Hulu is about mid 3%. You've also got HBO Max or Max Now is about 1%. So Netflix is getting all this usage. Now, what's a very interesting inflection point for Netflix is that we finally, after years and years and years, because if you rewind back a decade, right, to 2023, rewind back to 2013, that's when Netflix first started original content. In 2013, the linear TV bundle had 100 million subscribers and Netflix had 25 million subscribers. That has changed over time to now both of them have about 75 million. And so if you're a league like the NBA, you're going, if Netflix is ever interested in sports, I could get tons of viewing for my product because they have so many subscribers. Look at what Suits did. Suits was on Peacock, a small streamer, barely was getting watched, wasn't showing up in any of the top charts. Suits goes on Netflix this summer. Every fucking buddy in the country is watching Suits. And this isn't hyperbole. If you look at it broke viewership statistics for Nielsen. I mean, it was everybody was watching Suits. I think typically a top show on the Nielsen charts in the US, a top streaming show, will get about 1 billion minutes a week. Suits was rocking 4 billion minutes a week. And I think it's still one of the top shows watched after months of being on Netflix. And Suits, fun show, I think. Like it's kind of quick paced, it's got some wit to it, there's fun characters. But that's like not a top tier show or anything. And that's what the power of the Netflix platform has done. You see it in sports as well. You see it with Drive to Survive, the Formula One show. That happens. And then, boom, we get an increase in viewership in Formula One. So if I'm the NBA, I want my games on Netflix. Now, Netflix has historically been, they haven't been in sports. They're starting to increasingly do some live content. We'll see if that continues. And so of course, like, okay, so the reason the NBA would do Netflix is they would get the money and they get bigger viewership for their game. They grow the game. Why would Netflix want to do it? Well, Netflix has an annual budget for streaming content that's much bigger than everybody else. So they have the ability to do it, right? Like with Netflix, they're the only company doing those $200 million movies. No one else is doing $200 million movies that are straight to streaming. And I think it was what? The Gray Man was one of them. Ryan Reynolds has done a few, Red Notice. So like if you're Netflix, you go, okay, do I want if I make two of these huge streaming movies for 500 million, is it a better use of my cash to do that? Or maybe let me drop a couple of those movies annually and I'll spend 500 million on the NBA. And what Netflix can get is two things or three things. Boomer NBA fans that want to watch NBA and have the linear TV bundle now that maybe have never tried Netflix, they got to get on Netflix now. So you get, so 75 million people that have Netflix, you know, there's 330 million people in the country. You can expand by targeting people that had never have any interest in Netflix in their life by getting the NBA. Number two, churn reducer, right? So what's the biggest issue with streamers? You can sign up month per month. If you get NBA fans on Netflix, you lock them in. You lock them in from October to June. Or maybe if Netflix didn't have playoffs, you wouldn't, but you lock them in. But what about this? If I'm the NBA, I give Netflix season games, and then during the playoffs, I get content on Netflix about the NBA. Deep dives about that. That would be great. Bill Simmons did his courtside at the NBA Finals for HBO. You could easily do that on Netflix. So you could have additional content for the NBA as the playoffs were going on. And then finally for Netflix, what are they trying to do big time right now? Okay, their big thing last year or this year and last year was they're like, too many people are sharing passwords. We're doing a crackdown on password sharing. But as an offset to that, we're going to say we're having a new ad tier. So the ad tier, I think, is $7 now. If you're password sharing, well, get off the password sharing. But instead of paying 15, $16, you can pay $7 for the ad tier. What Netflix is finding is that they're making more money off of the ad tier than the normal tier. And the reason why is it's watched so much, so they're getting all this advertising revenue. And so they might be getting $10 a month in ad revenue plus $7 a month in the payment, 17 versus the 15 that they're getting ads free. And they're trying to correct this by making the ad-free one more expensive. But what this means for you and for me is that they're looking to grow their ad tier. And the NBA, with natural ads on their games, that's an interesting component to getting a lot bigger in advertising, right? If you get an NBA package, advertisers are going to be talking to you big time. So NBA advertising can help their entire advertising business if they do it correctly. So this is why Netflix might want to do it. Okay, NBC. I think NBC is a great contender for two reasons. Number one, broadcast TV used to have similar used to be pretty similar to cable. Not now. Why does the NFL be on broadcast TV? Most people watching it, of course. Broadcast TV is theoretically available for everyone. Cable TV is only available in 75 million homes. So we've got 120 million homes in the US. Soon, cable is only going to be in half of those homes. So if I'm the NBA, I'm going, why, oh, why am I having part of my conf? I'm having one half of my conference finals on cable? On TNT? Fuck no. I want as many playoff games as possible on broadcast. The finals are on broadcast. One of the finals every year is on ABC as the finals. But so if I'm the NBA, I'm like, I want whatever finals that ESPN and ABC don't have, the ones that aren't on ABC, whatever conference finals that they don't have, I want that on broadcast now. And I think that's where NBC comes in. So be on the lookout for NBC either getting in and or partnering with Warner Brothers Discovery. You could have NBC as the broadcast home, Warner Brothers Discovery is the cable TV home, and then both of them are a streaming home. And that's the other component as well, is that if I'm the NBA, I'm going, you know, I'm looking at what NBC does. So NBC has Sunday Night Football on broadcast and on Peacock. Same thing with Big Ten. And the reason that they can get away with this is because that NBC is paying the local broadcast TV stations for the right to be able to put that on Peacock, right? So Peacock is paying a lot of money for the ability to put those games on. But if I'm the NBA, I like that. I want Peacock to do that for the NBA because those broadcast games, if people don't have access to broadcast, okay, pop on Peacock. Now you're watching the NBA as well. So that's a big thing too. And I think Silver has been very consistent about wanting to broaden out the ability for people to watch games. That's why I think NBC and Peacock together with a bid, that could be a great one. Okay, final thought here. People are saying, why can't they put everything together? Well, here's where the local rights story becomes very interesting. So this was in the Wall Street Journal article. So I'm going back to point two here. Diamond Sports bankruptcy. If you're not familiar with Diamond Sports, they're the largest owner of regional sports networks. They did a deal where 90% of the purchase price was financed by debt. They went bankrupt very shortly. So it was mismanaged for a variety of reasons, and they also just had cord cutting issues as well. So it was basically doomed from the start, unfortunately for them, and unfortunately for NBA and MLB fans and NHL fans who haven't been able to get that content. But I'm quoting from the Wall Street Journal article right now. Amazon and others have indicated they'd find it even more appealing if the NBA could package national TV rights with local market rights. The league's looking at doing just that, and the bankruptcy of Diamond Sports is expected to accelerate those efforts. Depending on the bankruptcy, they could get 15 markets back. So the reason this is so complicated is because for like, for the big market teams, like the Celtics, they have their own regional sports network. It's an NBC-owned network. So the Celtics, that network probably does fine. They're not looking to give their rights back to the NBA, and they want those local rights themselves because then they can go out and make money on those. Like NESN, Red Sox channel, they're out with their own direct-to-consumer product. Same thing with YES Network. So YES Network, same thing with the Brooklyn Nets rights. It's the smaller market teams that aren't big enough to have their own channel. Maybe they aren't big enough to have direct-to-consumer. But what they're doing now, so Phoenix and Utah, they're already now saying, I took my rights back from Diamond Sports, and now I'm putting them on local broadcast. And you're sacrificing some revenue from the regional sports network, but you're getting additional revenue, not as much, but you're getting some revenue from the advertising that those games generate. And then the broadcast stations are probably paying the teams a little bit, not as much, but a little bit. And then you're also now, this game's available to everybody. So the reason that it would be great if you could have all the rights in one place, obviously, is ease of use. But the problem of that is that it's much more profitable for the league if they slice and dice. But what you have to do is you got to find the right balance, right? So if you do, okay, I pay $50 a month to the NBA, I get every single game. That doesn't work because you're not going to get as much money as they would get in a deal where they slice and dice. But on the other extreme is if they slice and dice too much, people lose interest in the league. So that's the balance that Silver has to figure out when he's signing this deal, is ultimately there's money to be made for sure here, but you got to be smart about how you do the different products. And the Diamond Sports bankruptcy complicates things because if ESPN goes out or if Amazon comes out and they're like, we want all the local rights and we'll put them on Prime. Well, you can't really do that because the NBA doesn't own all the local rights. So it gets complicated. ESPN Plus has been in the mix too for some of those local rights. So when you put it all together, what do I think is going to happen here? What's my prediction? Okay. So my ultimate prediction is, as the Wall Street Journal says, I think both ESPN and TNT are going to re-up. However, they're going to pay similar to maybe even less, but probably similar, and they're going to have much fewer games. NBC is going to be brought in. I think NBC gets a conference finals. I don't think they get the finals, but I think they could even be bidding for it. I think the finals stays with ABC, But I think the NBA locks in broadcast for each conference finals. I don't know exactly how the bid's going to go, but I definitely believe there is a potential for a package deal with NBC and Warner Brothers Discovery, or you could have NBC doing something like a Sunday night NBA package to follow their Sunday night NFL package on broadcast on NBC. I also think that Amazon gets in the mix. I think Amazon wants this. They've already shown their hand. I think they can pay a nice penny for a premier game. I think Thursday night is perfect, kind of like what NBC is looking to do a Sunday night showcase, like they do with the NFL, the NBA. I think Amazon looks to do the same thing Thursday night football, transition Thursday night showcase for the NBA and Apple. So my prediction right now actually is that Apple does not get any games. And I know that might be hearsay. I know people might be like, what are you talking about? I have two reasons for why I don't think Apple does it, at least at this time we could see. So number one is that Apple has not actually shown that they're gonna spend aggressively in sports. They had the opportunity to buy the NFL Sunday Ticket package and they didn't. They were in the mix for that for what seemed like years and they didn't end up doing that. The second reason why is that if I'm the NBA and I have a similar amount of money, I want to take the money from Amazon over Apple. And the reason I want to do that is because Amazon has way more people watching Amazon Prime than Apple TV. So Amazon Prime, most people already have that in the US. So they're going to be able to watch the NBA games. Apple, not as many people have Apple TV, so it's going to be harder to watch those games. And then I'll actually say a third reason. So my prediction is Apple does not get the NBA, but my prediction is Apple helps distribute ESPN in the future. And that's what they use as their sports package, is helping distribute ESPN when it goes direct to consumer. Like it would be something like if ESPN's charging $30 for the direct to consumer package, you would if you buy Apple TV Plus, maybe you get it for $15. So Apple gets people subscribing to their service. ESPN gets more linear distribution. They gets more distribution for ESPN direct to consumer. And then, as of right now, I do not think Netflix gets in. That is highly subject to change, and that could even change by their next earnings call or by another interview, because I think this would be a fucking home run for Netflix and the NBA. I love this. And it depends on if Netflix wants to spend 100%. But you talk about those two together, you get Netflix overseas. Netflix is the dominant streamer in so many of these overseas markets. That could help them too. But you get Netflix in the NBA together in the US. Netflix gets more subs, they expand the market. Netflix is able to ramp up their ad tier hard, instant, huge player in ads with the marketers if they get the NBA. And then the NBA gets way more viewership. And what I would do if I was the NBA and Netflix, if I did this deal, I would get Drive to Survive like documentaries rocking and rolling on Netflix. So basically, if you're an NBA fan, you got to be on Netflix, and the Netflix creates more NBA fans, and that is just good for the league. So I think there's a lot of synergy there, that it's going to be a cost issue. And I think ultimately, if I'm the NBA and I'm looking to choose between Apple and Netflix, I might actually go with Netflix for a less price than Apple for the reasons I've said, for Netflix being in 75 million homes and being able to showcase the game much more than Apple being in. Who the hell is watching Apple? I don't. People aren't going to Apple for good TV. They have some good shows. I mean, I'm a huge Severance guy myself. I thought that was incredible. But they have some good shows, but ultimately they're just not built out yet. So that's where I'm at. It's such a fascinating topic. Twists and turns abound here. My opinion is subject to change for sure, depending on all the mixes and matches here. But I felt like I had to go through this because we're getting more and more evidence with those ESPN financials, with the Wall Street Journal report, with CNBC, that we're looking at a major deal here that is going to look a lot different than what it did the latest deal. It's going to look a lot different, and the way people are going to be watching the NBA is going to change massively, I think. So hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, feel free to give some, you know, to ask some questions on Twitter in the DMs. If you like this episode and you want me to do more of them, comment on the reviews, give it 5 stars, say you like the media analysis, because look, I love doing this stuff. You know, I didn't plan for this to be 35 minutes. I planned for this to be 20 minutes, but I kept rocking and rolling on it. So let me know if you guys like the stuff, if you want me to do more of it. And beyond that, we'll have a Cousin Sal pod soon. We'll have more Bill Simmons pods to discuss, and our more RBS pods, more our Bill Simmons podcasts are on the way for sure. So you know, enjoy the rest of your day or night when you're listening, and we will see you on this feed very shortly. Cheers.